Chapter 35. Big news hit Clanton in the spring of 1978. Bargain City was coming. Along with McDonald's and the fast food joints that followed it around the country, Bargain City was a national chain rapidly marching through the small towns of the South. Most of the town rejoiced. Some of us, though, felt it was the beginning of the end. The company was taking over the world with its big-box discount warehouses that offered everything at very low prices. The stores were spacious and clean and included cafes, pharmacies, banks, even optometrists and travel agents. A small town without a Bargain City store was irrelevant and insignificant. They optioned 50 acres on Market Street, about a mile from the Clanton Square. Some of the neighbors protested, and the city council held a public hearing on whether to allow the store to be built. Bargain City had met opposition before, and it had a well-oiled and highly effective strategy. The council room was packed with people holding red and white Bargain City signs, "Bargain City, a good neighbor," and "We want jobs." Engineers, architects, lawyers, and contractors were there, with their secretaries and wives and children. Their mouthpiece painted a rosy picture of economic growth, sales tax revenues, 150 jobs for the locals, and the best products at the lowest prices. Mrs. Dorothy Hockett spoke in opposition. Her property was adjacent to the site, and she did not want the invasion of noise and lights. The city council seemed sympathetic, but the vote had long since been decided. When no one else would speak against Bargain City, I stood and walked to the podium. I was driven by a belief that to preserve the downtown area of Clanton, we had to protect the stores and shops, cafes and offices around the square. Once we began sprawling, there would be no end to it. The town would spread in a dozen directions, each one siphoning off its own little slice of old Clanton. Most of the jobs they were promising would be at minimum wage. The increase in sales tax revenues to the city would be at the expense of the merchants Bargain City would quickly drive out of business. The people of Ford County were not going to wake up one day and suddenly start buying more bicycles and refrigerators simply because Bargain City had such dazzling displays. I mentioned the town of Titus, about an hour south of Clanton. 2 years earlier, Bargain City opened there. Since then, 14 retail stores and one cafe had closed. Main Street was almost deserted. I mentioned the town of Marshall over in the Delta. In the 3 years since Bargain City opened, the mom-and-pop merchants of Marshall had closed two pharmacies, two small department stores, the feed store, the hardware store, a ladies' boutique, a gift shop, a small bookstore, and two cafes. I'd had lunch in the remaining cafe, and the waitress who had worked there for 30 years told me their business was less than half of what it used to be. The square in Marshall was similar to Clanton's, except that most of the parking spaces were empty. There were very few folks walking the sidewalks. I mentioned the town of Tackerville, with the same population as Clanton. 1 year after Bargain City opened there, the town was forced to spend $1.2 million on road improvements to handle the traffic around the development. I handed the mayor and councilman copies of a study by an economics professor at the University of Georgia. He had tracked Bargain City across the South for the previous 6 years and evaluated the financial and social impact the company had on towns of less than 10,000. Sales tax revenues remained roughly the same. The sales were simply shifted from the old merchants to Bargain City. Employment was roughly the same. The clerks in the old stores downtown were replaced by the new ones at Bargain City. The company made no substantial investment in the community, other than its land and building. In fact, it would not even allow its money to sit in local banks. At midnight every night, the day's receipts were wired to the home office in Gainesville, Florida.